Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today Bill Johnson, who is a legislative candidate for District 9. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
What I'll do is give a little background theme here that we've been using with candidate interviews, and that is that both nationally and here in Alaska, there seems to have developed an increasing political polarization, often resulting in gridlock and not much action happening. So I'm going to ask a series of questions. The first, how do you view the present functioning of state government? And with that, what is your approach to working with others of different perspectives to ensure quality government?
Well, I think currently the state government is barely functioning, and that has to do with the partisanship that we see down in Juneau. I think there's no doubt our budget woes are pretty bad. We're in the red still. Just as a state, our job growth is down, housing prices are down, unemployment is up, and this is all part of what the government could step in and fix these problems, and it's not. It's just not functioning. The partisanship, I think, is a very difficult problem to really approach, but I like to think that throughout my working career that I've been able to get along with people of that thought different than me and find some sort of common ground. I mean, as I heard a man tell me many years ago, we all put our pants on the same way, so we have something in common.
Okay. Question number two. How would you describe ethics in government and the money often connected to issues? And along with that, it's a multi-part question. What would you specifically do to ensure an ethical atmosphere? And do you support clean election laws like they have in several other cities where candidates raise small amounts of money with petition gathering and get it matched with public funds?
Well, I don't think that ethics is at a high point. I would say that. And I think it's probably related to the way money comes into elections, which leads me right into this idea that you just floated about the clean elections. For those that don't know, clean elections are in, I think, five or six states right now. And that's where if you're going to be a candidate for office, you need to go out and get a certain determined, predetermined number of signatures and small donations, say $5 from everybody. And then you go to the state, to the government, and your election is financed. They pay for the rest of it. I think that's a really good idea. I'm a first-time candidate. And the very first thing I discovered is the importance of money. And I have very little. My opponent has a lot. And the first thing I found out about trying to get money is if folks give you money, they expect something. And they expect more for the more they give you. So most of my money has come from small individual contributions, which means that people aren't necessarily wanting a lot for their money, but they're wanting my goodwill. On the other hand, if I go and try and get $1,000 from an oil company or a union, they expect me to open a door when they come to Juneau. And I think that's a real problem. I think the way we're doing it right now is probably very detrimental to democracy. I think clean elections would be a much better process and we'll keep the money out.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Question number three. In your view, what are the most serious environmental problems that need to be addressed? And what do you see as the state's role in finding a solution to those problems?
I think I'll just put it to number one. I think the serious environmental problem we're facing is this global warming, climate change, however you want to phrase that. And I think that's due, there's really no doubt that it's due to the carbon that we're putting into the atmosphere. And I think that needs to change. And many people try and say, well, the state can't really do anything about it. But in fact, the state can do something about it. First off, they could fund more scientific research to find out more details. But there's also another way that would help us in two ways, and that would be a carbon tax. In other words, tax what you don't want, which is carbon in the atmosphere, rather than try and say tax the income, which you want people to make money. So it would really do two things if we were to do that. It would help with the environment, with the warming trend that's going on, and it would help with our economy and our budget at the same time.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Question number four. What is your view of the government's role to make sure every Alaskan has access to health care?
Oh, that's a tough one and an easy one. I think the simplest and most direct way to make sure every Alaskan has access to health care is the same as for every American, which would be for the federal government to expand Medicare for all. In the meantime, though, in the state of Alaska, I think there are things we could do and should do. I'm going to put a little digression here, but the United States has the most expensive health care in the world. Alaska has the most expensive health care in the United States, which means that we are paying for our health care here the most of basically anybody in the world. We're not necessarily getting the best care for our money. We're just paying the most. So this is a serious problem, not only for the government, but for the state, the business climate, everything in the state. If we could reduce the health care costs, it would go a long way towards making our economy more robust, making our government more efficient. It would have a lot of benefits. So what could we do? Well, we could look at a paying for care rather than for service. A managed care system would be one thing. We could also look at the 80th percentile rule that Alaska has. It's the only state that does that, and that's where the companies or the people providing insurance are obligated to pay 80% of the usual and customary charges. In Alaska, this can be a real problem as you move into a specialty where there are not many specialists. You can kind of set your own price. Or if you, say, are a dentist in a rural community, the only one, again, you can set your prices and the state or the insurance will pay 80%. I think we need to address that for sure. That would be two things we could do right up front.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Last question. There is an increasing pressure on the state's budget, especially the funding of education and health and human services. Other services such as transportation and public safety are also feeling the pressure. How do you see the legislature contributing to solutions?
Well, those are definitely budget questions. And we are right now, even after we passed the Permanent Friend Protection Act last session, we're still about $800 million in debt. With inflation, that means this year we're going to be about $1.1 or $1.2 billion in debt if we do nothing different. It's just going to get worse. So what that tells me is that we need to raise revenue. We can't cut government anymore. I started off talking about our unemployment, our job growth. We're actually losing people, net migration out. We need to do something, and the state could do something here. It's kind of like, you know, there's two of you in the household, me and my wife, let's say. We've got good jobs and the kids and everything is wonderful, and then I get laid off. So our income is just cut drastically, which is what happened when our oil revenue started going down. So you have two choices as a family. The first thing you do is just start to cut. You quit going out to dinner. You don't go to movies. Maybe I don't buy a new rifle. Maybe I don't buy a new car. But if you reach a point where what you're cutting is food for your kids, and at that point you need to do something a little different. And I think as a state, that's where we are. We can't cut anymore. We have to figure out a way to make more money. How would we do that? I mentioned a carbon tax already. That would be one way to bring in money. I think the other thing we need to do is look very seriously at the oil, the relationship with the oil companies. We had a pretty good tax structure several years ago. We changed that under Governor Parnell, and we immediately started taking in a lot less revenue and having a problem. So we need to get something more progressive. We need to look at the credits on the oil companies. The third thing besides those I think we might want to look at is something like one out of three North Slope workers, 20% of our total working population, takes their money and goes south every year. And we need to look at trying to tap into that. And I know that's been done in the past, and there are constitutional issues. I think what we need to do, and I'm open to other suggestions, is look at some sort of a payroll tax with an exemption on the first, say, $40,000, which is a living wage. And that would allow us, a slope worker, for example, is making in six figures. So that would still allow us to tax $60,000 to $80,000 of those workers and bring some money into our coffers. I think it would be a good idea.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Mike Malevsky here, talking with Bill Johnson, who's a candidate for the Alaska State Legislature in House District 9. Bill, you have an opportunity now to add whatever you'd like to do that I haven't asked about and that you'd like to share with listeners.
Now that opens up to a budding politician. But what I will say is actually I'm not a politician. This is really the first time I've tried to do this. I'm just an ordinary person like many of you. I live in Delta. I grew up there, spent my whole life in this District 9. I know the area well, and I like to think of myself not as Democrat or party-oriented, but I'm an Alaskan. My grandkids live here. got children here. I'm here. I don't have any intention of going anywhere. So I'm going to do what's best for the state of Alaska, what's best for all of us. If you like anything that you've heard, what I say, what I do ask you to do is back to this fact that I have a low-budget campaign and I'm looking for word of the mouth. So if I've said anything that touches a good chord in you, spread the word, share it, tell somebody. Come to my Facebook site and look at that and then share it again. I'm counting on you to help me win. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill Johnson.